Hey, Westside, welcome to our Q&R podcast, where we take questions from you about the sermon. We're in the book of Acts.
Yes.
The text today is...
Did you want me to say Acts?
I want us to go back and forth a bit.
Okay, try it again. Do it again.
We're in the book of Acts.
Wait, no, that's no, my no. part. Go
okay,
ahead,
we are in the book of...
Acts.
And the text today is Acts 4.
Ooh, I actually don't know that.
23 to...
31.
Awesome. I'm Erin. I'm with Pastor Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey.
How was your vacation?
Vacation was good. I had a really good time. Missy's not doing well right now, so she couldn't go, which was too bad. Mm-hmm. But I had an amazing time out there with my brother and his family and surfed a little bit, mm-hmm. or more like tried to surf in my case.
Yeah.
Because I really like the idea of surfing. Yeah. I don't do it a lot.
Oh.
That's perfect.
Classic. That's Matt's phone.
Who's calling you?
My daughter.
Oh, can you tell her just to give you 5 minutes of peace?
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, we'll just keep going. We can cut out whatever we need to. Yeah. If we don't even cut it, it doesn't matter. But, yeah, it was a great time. Like, sun and the ocean.
Your forehead is glowing more than usual.
But, like, in a good way, though.
It's
not
good.
In a white way.
No.
More like a pink way.
No, it's good. It's good color.
Okay. But, yeah, and like, great time with Jesus, too.
Oh, that's brutal.
It's just like when you get on a plane or you just get in your car and you just get out of town, it's like... It just always feels like, okay, we get a little reset together. Yeah. I love that feeling. Yeah. And so I had really special times with him. And yeah, I went to a church out there, Calvary Chapel, one of the Calvary Chapels, like in South OC, whatever. And it's great. I had such a fun time.
Mm.
Yeah. And I mean, I've got great family, like siblings and stuff. And we're all close friends, but
which is amazing.
Just great to spend time with them. And we watch hockey out there. I'm the only person in Southern California watching hockey.
So no cheering in the streets like what we had down here.
No, that's true.
I was just going to say, I'm getting ahead of myself, so we're not going to go there. But you do have close relationships with your siblings, which is beautiful.
Very close,
because we're talking about spiritual friendship.
Yeah.
And you have a bit of that in with the family, too. That
we
closeness.
Do, and we feel very fortunate about that. Because it's not always the case, and it doesn't always have to be the case. But my siblings, my older sister and my younger brother, and their spouses, and me and Missy... We're all best friends.
Yeah.
Like that's and their faith is really strong. And so that's a huge blessing. That's a huge blessing. And I know not everyone has that.
No, they don't. That's beautiful. Yeah. I love it. Okay. So there's a lot of ways that we could go today. The sermon was very good, but I feel like there were so many layers to it. So I think I was praying that the Holy Spirit would just lead us where he wants to take us today.
It's a great prayer.
It's a great prayer. Yeah.
That's great.
Okay. You hit us with a bombshell today.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
You said it's wrong, I'm quoting, and a problem when we think God wants to make our lives easy, then to quote you further, and walking with Jesus is going to actually increase pressure. So I want to start here.
Mm-hmm.
What? No. I'm going to start somewhere else. No, I'm starting here.
Not what?
Question number one, how?
How?
We'll go to what next. How is it good news, question number one, if God doesn't make our lives easy or easier?
So the word lives or life is probably a little bit of an issue there, because it's like, on one hand, he wants to destroy our lives.
Yeah.
On the other hand, he wants to give us life.
Yeah.
So which is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wants to destroy the old life that we were living.
Mm-hmm.
Worshiping ourselves and just doing things our way and under our own authority.
Yep.
He wants to destroy that.
This is
so
good.
That we come under his authority, and then he gives us new life. And the new life that he gives us, I mean, I don't know if I'd use the word easier even for that life.
No.
But it is. It's better in every measurable way, it's better.
But not by the metrics that we typically look at.
Yeah, because right now, this side of heaven, like this side of eternity where, you know, we're battling the flesh and the world, and the devil, and like we're fighting all of these things.
Yeah.
The taking hold of his new life is a constant confrontation in the everyday lives that we're living. So that's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
When we say, because a lot of people come to Jesus with somehow they get the impression or message, you know, that if I just come to him, then he'll take care of everything. And what they mean by that is all the things that they were previously trying to take care of, he's going to finish for them. But actually, he wants to do a whole bunch of things that you haven't even thought of yet.
Yeah.
And so it's like, and he wants to give you real life. and real joy and real peace and real freedom and all, and those things are actually found only in him. So we have to learn how to crucify the flesh or the corrupt nature and cling to the Spirit. And that process of like crucifying the flesh and abide in the Spirit, clinging to the Spirit, that process of learning that, that's like, that's not easy.
No.
That's actually called war. Mm-hmm. That's actually like a straight up battle every day.
Yeah.
And so people don't always realize that. And I hear this from people a lot when they're like, sorry, I want to hear what you think too, Aaron. But like, I want to, I hear this. Yeah, I do. I really do.
I'm just.
But I hear this from people a lot where they're like, especially when they start like leaning into the spiritual practices or disciplines or prayer, for example.
Yeah.
And it's like they really commit and then everything falls apart on them and they're like, they give up.
Yeah.
It's like, no, the falling apart of everything is the way through.
Yeah. So when we say, how is it good news? This is how it's good news. And it's only possible that we can even have this life, this Zoe life or whatever, right? Which is defined as.
How would you define it? What do you think?
How would you define
it? I just call it abundant life. Like when Jesus said, I came to give them abundant life, like life to the full.
Right. It's, and that's only possible through Jesus.
It is. The only life that is actually life.
Yeah.
But to take hold of that life, we lose these lives. So that's what I was talking about.
Yeah. I love it. It's great. What is at stake for us if we think life is going to be easier with Jesus and then life doesn't turn out the way we expected? So as a pastor, what are you seeing? Mm-hmm. What do you see?
Well, I want to ask you that question. What do you
see? I asked first.
Okay. But one of these days, I'm just going to flip it on you.
Oh, well. Next time.
We just get, people are completely, they get completely deluded. Like, well, the right word is jaded, resentful, angry, bitter. They feel like it was a bait and switch and someone pulled the rug out from underneath them.
Yeah.
And if you sign up, like, if you sign up for one thing and you think it's very clear what you're getting, I mean, it's not actually coming to Jesus as Lord in the first place, just to be clear, right? Like, if you come to Jesus thinking it's about what, like that he's going to give you the things you were already trying to get. There's a misunderstanding of what lordship of Jesus really means. But I think we see this all the time. Yep. I think like this is people who come to Jesus or get baptized or go through these processes and they're just yes, yes, yes. But deep down, there's this unspoken, I'm really expecting him to give me this spouse.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be able to get married. Now I'm going to get the job. Now I'm going to like become successful. Now I'm going to get respect. Now I'm going to, and then you realize often the opposite things happen. And it's like, how are you supposed to, it's like if you didn't come to Jesus for Jesus, it is a real problem. And you end up, I think, really upset and you just walk away.
Is that sometimes because people think we're bringing something to the table? Like I'm doing this for God and I'm expecting this in return.
Yeah, you think it's like a kind of a bartering thing?
Yeah, like I've given my life to him, so now.
Yeah, I think for sure. But again, that's law, right?
Yeah.
And I often will say it, like, because I know it's been true in my life. I've often preferred a worker's wage rather than like a child's inheritance. Yeah. I prefer, like, hey, let me work for you for this many hours, and then you pay me back for this. I like the bartering system. It comes more naturally to me than, okay, let me just like be like, let me give up who I was, who anything, and come to you for you. And in that find myself and get, but we inherit like everything.
I know.
It's like, honestly, there's nothing like it. Like what Jesus does give us is so good.
I know.
But it costs us this life.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to get at is like, you have to understand coming to Jesus is giving up control. Mm-hmm.
Which is really what it comes down to, why you would prefer a worker's wage.
Yeah,
because it's something you
control.
Can see. Yeah, it's in your control.
Yeah.
I do this, you do this. Okay, I'm going to quote you a little bit today because there was a lot of really great things that
You're just buttering me up, Aaron.
I am not. You know I'm like, I hate flattery.
So do I.
So I'm not even telling you that this was good. I'm just quoting
you. Okay, good.
How about that?
Okay, I like that.
You said, when the pressure comes, the temptation is to turn back or build a version of faith that fits better with the world's version. Mm-hmm. More quoting. Spiritual compromise always masquerades as wisdom and is poison. It's poison when we mix the wisdom of the world with our faith. So with this in mind, here's our next question. And I love this question. Mm-hmm. And
did you write this question?
No, I did not. And I really hope you answer this very well.
I'll try, but you can help me if I don't get it.
You'll get it, good.
Okay.
Do you think God provides his spiritual wisdom to us through otherwise teachings from the world?
Mm-hmm.
For example, Brene Brown, Chopra. Should the church only be sharing wisdom to one another from scripture or prayer?
It's a really good question.
It's a great question.
I did mention those guys today, right?
Right. Like, and they said that.
Yeah,
I cut that part out. But.
No, yeah. I always know that's going to get some people because I like Brene Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I like listening to her. Like, she's got a lot of things that are like, I think are brilliant.
And they've been very helpful in understanding ourselves
for
and
sure.
vulnerability and things. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, so, okay, what's the actual question again? Should we what?
Yeah, should the church only be sharing wisdom to one? But that first part of the question was, do you think God provides his spiritual wisdom through otherwise teachings from the world? So there's two questions here. Yeah.
So I think that we see God's fingerprints in the sciences.
Yeah.
Like, we see God's fingerprints all over the world in the amazing and brilliant innovations and technological breakthroughs and all over the place. We see God's fingerprints. Like, we are, as his image bearers, we are creative. We are designed to be creative. We're wired by him to come up with ideas and thoughts and to be able to analyze things look at things from the outside. And I think a lot of these people that have this wisdom and they're expressing this wisdom, a lot of that is very good and very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, everything that, like, Satan, what he does, he doesn't just lie to us.
Mm-hmm.
He twists the truth.
Right.
So it's like in all this beautiful creation that we live in, with all this general revelation, meaning God's fingerprints over everything, from the physical world to the intellectual world to the world of literature and the sciences and everything else. Like, God's fingerprints is in all this stuff.
Right.
None of these things are inherently evil. These are all good things.
Right.
And so when people are working in them, like, there's a lot of good in that.
Mm-hmm.
But what the enemy does is, because since we've fallen into sin, everything has been tainted. Everything has been corrupted. So now everything comes at us with this, like, these really subtle shifts in almost every area, especially when you're talking about psychology especially when you get into philosophy. So people come up with these profound ideas and ways of understanding our lives and who we are, But when it's not anchored in the Lordship of Jesus and in the truth of God's word, when you don't anchor it there, you can guarantee if you follow that just like on its own, you are going to be led somewhere. You are going to be led in the worship of something other than God. Someone, and probably just yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the things that are talked about by these different teachers, it's like, no, they'll even talk about God. Mm-hmm. They'll use the language of God.
Right.
But they mean something very different from that than the gospel or the scriptures actually mean.
Yeah.
And so when Christians are looking for, like, how do I counsel? Like, is there a place? Yeah, as much as, like, there's a place for, like, science and math, there's also a place for understanding our biology. There's a place to understanding neurochemistry. There's a place to understanding how all these things work and how we function and all that kind of stuff. I think that's none of that's bad, but I think the vast majority of people actually have almost no biblical knowledge to be able to test those things and know when they're actually coming out of alignment with the scriptures. And that's the problem I see. So what it just sounds like I did was give people permission to use all those things, which of course you can, but I think we lack so much discernment because we're not immersed in the scriptures that it's really become quite a problem.
So why then would I agree with everything that you've said, but why would I...
What are you thinking? Oh, this is going to be good.
Well, I'm thinking...
You went through a whole thing in your brain right
now. I did. I answered the question on my own.
It was a hilarious answer. Please.
No, it's more like you talk to a lot of people and they know so much about what other authors are saying.
Yes.
And there's...
nothing about the scriptures.
Right. And they're like, it sounds like, and we love Jesus, they love Jesus. Yeah. And so you talked about language, like, there's been a lot of theft of language over the years. So to have a common understanding, like, what do you mean when you say love? What do you mean? What do I mean when I say Jesus? Like,
or shame or whatever, sure, vulnerability or all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think the caution here is we've got to make sure that I would say, I need to know what the Bible says about these topics first.
Yeah.
So that when I'm reading extra stuff, it can, like you said, be tested and affirmed or 100%. Whatever.
Yeah, and we want to see that, like, in Jesus' people, where, like, this passion, if we love him, we're going to love what he says.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, I mean, just like Psalm 119, like, just read that Psalm, like, you know, over and over again. And it's just like how much we love his statutes and his words and his principles and his teaching and his law. And it's just like, there's this thing. And if we actually just could, if the Spirit would help us just like recapture that in the church, honestly, these things wouldn't even be an issue because people would hear them and go like, oh, that's actually 90% false.
Yeah.
And there's 10% of that that's really good. And so, no, I'm not going to use that person's name to counsel this person because I don't want them looking them up.
Right.
I don't want them to grab the book or watch the special and then to think that I'm endorsing that because there's like 10% of it. And that's actually usually the way that it is.
I know.
But Satan's a master at twisting truth. Yeah. That's how he lies.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you're right. If we could get people to just, if people knew the scriptures, if they had the underlying framework, which used to be much more normative than it is today, right?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, this idea of the Holy Spirit destroying the stronghold of spiritual compromise, you shared that with what you're seeing in the church right now, and how in our text you went into when they were released, they went to their friends.
Yes.
And you brought those ideas together that this was part of that process of, like, their spiritual... Tell me if I'm...
Yeah,
this
that
right.
was... Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
That one of the safeguards from this compromise is the kind of friends and the spiritual friendships they have.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, like, I'm taking the text there.
Yeah.
And I'm... That bit of it, specifically, is really... I think we can see that, but that's not what the text is saying, primarily.
Right. Yeah.
Like, so, like, Peter and John are being released, and that... was a moment of increasing intensity and more pressure on them as Jesus people. And they go to their own, they go to their friends. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, we should understand that without actual spiritual friendships, meaning the kind of gospel community, the scripture, the New Testament calls us to, like, our relationships with each other are so important in scripture.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually it's unbelievable that people think that they can just be a Christian on their own, kind of attend church, whatever, and not have these kind of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture shows us again and again, we need each other.
Yep.
And part of what we just talked about, like, how do you discern? Like, it's not just having biblical knowledge. It's going to help you discern what you're hearing from the world or from other teachers.
Mm-hmm.
It's also going to be the church. It's going to be the body.
Right.
You're going to discern in the community with the people who also have Jesus' Spirit, and you're gonna, that's a major aspect of how we avoid spiritual compromise.
Yeah.
But it's like when we're feeling pressured, when we're being threatened, like Peter and John were, it's like, we need more than just, well, I know what the Bible says.
Yeah.
We need the church.
Yeah.
We need each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus' church, like, I mean, he's promised to build it, and it's because we actually really need it in these lives. And so, I think that that's a major piece of it. How much we need each other to avoid spiritual compromise.
Yeah.
Because spiritual compromise, we don't think of it like that. We think of it like wisdom. We think of it like pragmatism. We think of it. And then when we deceive ourselves like that, we think everyone else is naive.
Right.
And we want to separate.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like refusing to isolate. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it? I forget which proverb it is. I feel like Proverbs 18. Like, he who isolates himself, seeks his own desire, breaks out against all sound judgment. I think it's 18. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's like this isolation is actually like the moving away from God's plan and God's wisdom and God's will for us. And so... That's, I think the community is huge.
Yeah. So in Proverbs 27, as iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another, is that part of this as you're seeing that? Like, where there's accountability, where there's...
In the New Testament language, I'd really want to, like, look at that as, like, us having the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, so this happens all the time to us, right? And around our staff team mm-hmm. and the elders, like, and the elder wives, like, we do this.
Yep.
We get together and we sit around and we go, hey, like, what does the Lord have on your heart right now?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you think that's funny? What are you laughing about? You got this like little, you got this little smirk.
There's this face that you made when I asked the okay. question, and I just flashing back
but
to
you
that.
Know we do this, right?
We
and it's
do.
Like, and so it's different from like you have, you're in the yeah. scriptures one day and you have this impression for yeah. Westside on your own or yeah. for the church, what God's doing or what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing for you to have that. Mm-hmm. It's another thing when you get in a room of people and you hear it from three other people. That's
yeah.
you just got a lot stronger in yeah. that conviction, but also with sin.
Yeah.
Also with like deception.
Yeah.
When you're moving off course,
yep.
like you need more than just, you know, like you need the community around yeah. you to go like, hold on, you're off course.
Yeah.
And that's what the church actually naturally right. is supposed to do.
We're supposed to, but we don't want to do that.
Why don't we?
Avoid
why don't we?
That.
Why? Question
well,
for you.
Because you were talking about the isolation, but I would say the majority of people don't have these kinds of relationships.
Mm.
I think we don't necessarily want them because mm-hmm. we like areas of our lives hidden that we don't want to be exposed. I don't know.
So we're back to that control thing then. Like,
yeah.
Like at the first couple of questions, right, mm-hmm. where it was sort of like, why, you know, what?
Until you've been completely seen.
Yeah.
Have been rescued, have had people, like, given people access to your life, and you're like, there's so much freedom in that exposure and
yeah.
nothing hidden.
Yes.
You really think that the freedom and the security is in being not seen and not known.
Yes.
It's the opposite of that.
Yes, it is. But we also know that when you are mm-hmm. vulnerable with other human beings, there is a lot of potential
right.
for hurt and
absolutely.
Damage.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
I think it's probably almost a rule. It is going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And people, again, it's this thing where it's like we sign up for it. Okay, I'll try this community thing out.
Oh, yeah.
Until you get, and the hurt is actually, again, the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jesus talked about this even in the Lord's Prayer, like, unless we forgive each other.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, unless you forgive one another, like, neither will your Father forgive
yeah.
you. It's like the way we forgive and treat each other is tied so closely to what we can expect from the Father, our relationship with the
yeah.
Father. It's like, so it's actually signing up for the hurts
right.
ahead of time.
But isn't a big piece
and the
piece
carnage
of that?
And the drama.
Yes.
Drama.
Yeah, drama.
Drama or drama?
Drama.
Okay. So you sign up for all that ahead of time.
Right.
And gossip and people.
I know.
People, they sometimes they make mistakes and they gossip
mm-hmm.
about behind you. They gossip about you behind your back and they really hurt you or they,
mm-hmm.
what, like there's a million things and we just mm-hmm. see this damage in the church and people just want to run away from each other.
Yeah.
But this is where the gospel is supposed to shine through.
I know. Yeah. That's great.
We really
okay.
Need
we've got
it.
Lots of questions about the relationship. So, you shared about your 20-year-old self and the spiritual relationships you had with that group of guys. How did you find those friends? How did you develop that?
Yeah, well,
or maybe we shouldn't be learning
no,
about this.
No,
it just happened.
That's good. Those
okay.
guys were all kind of, I found them in all different ways. But the common denominator in mm. that specific season
yep.
was the Holy Spirit was really working in each guy in a different way. It was very important for me in that season too that it was just guys, like
mm-hmm.
male.
Yep.
I had come out of some years where I'd done a lot of damage in different relationships. And so when my life turned around right there, I told the Lord, like, I don't want to see a female.
Mm.
I'm 20 years old, right? I just needed guys in my life. That
yep.
was it. So that was a very specific group. They, and again, from all different places, we had some mutual things. Like, I think like two or three of them were from one church and I knew one of them, like, just different relationships. But the thing that brought us together was hunger for Jesus.
Mm.
The Spirit stirring something.
Yeah.
Like that holy discontentment we
yeah.
talk about sometimes.
Yeah.
That was happening in each guy. It looks different. And I'm only close with one of those guys
yeah.
today, 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, like, it was so important.
Yeah.
And spiritual friends to this day remain so important in
yeah.
my life. Like, I mean, it must be every day, like, that
mm-hmm.
I'm reaching out to one of these people
mm-hmm.
in my life and just because I have to confess mm-hmm. something, or I need help with something, or I'm carrying a weight, or I can't discern a way that I'm feeling. It's like the value of having yeah. other people mm-hmm. who go to the Spirit with you and for yeah. you is, it's like nothing. Like, I don't know, like, the we've been designed for it.
Yep.
You know, it's like Jesus awesome. Is there, but like, he's mm-hmm. not, he doesn't want to, he wants to do it with people, through people.
Yeah. Okay. I love it.
So for people discerning, Erin.
Yes.
How to find those friends.
Yes.
Is that, yeah, I feel like I said on purpose, like, first be friends with Jesus. Like, yeah. love Jesus. Like, build a relationship with Jesus, like a real relationship.
Yeah. yeah.
Really spend time with him. Go for walks with them. Mm-hmm. Sit with them and talk with them.
Right.
Open his word and just like ask him questions about it. Like walk, like have a relationship with Jesus. Learn to yeah. discern his voice through the scriptures, through the word. Learn yeah. all these things. Like really sit with Jesus. Study Jesus. Get with the church. Like sit mm-hmm. under good teaching and just yeah. like all that stuff.
Yeah.
Build a relationship with Jesus. And as you fall in love with him, mm-hmm. when you come across people who also love mm-hmm. him, you find out as like yeah. instantly. Like, it happens so fast.
Yeah, I love that.
Where you just know, like, because you get into conversation, you don't need anything else in common, mm-hmm. but you both love Jesus, and mm-hmm. it's like, there's a way about you. Mm-hmm. There's a way about them. Mm-hmm. And you don't see them. You don't find those people that often. It's kind of like you're traveling around the world somewhere as a Canadian. You run into a Canadian yeah. in, like, a coffee shop, mm-hmm. and it's like, you just have so much in common.
Yeah.
You're just Canadian. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's way more extreme in the church when you find someone who loves Jesus.
Yeah.
And then You just have to reach out and say, hey, can we talk more? Can I reach mm-hmm. out to you and ask for prayer? Like, and you don't know. I really do feel like you need the Lord to bring those relationships. Yeah. I don't think you can make them happen, but I think you can ask him, and I think he will
yeah.
want to help you with that for sure.
So not every person that says they're a Christian, or not every person that you're sitting next to in church is going to be that person for you.
Some of them are going to be terrible spiritual friends. Really bad.
I know.
And that's what's so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So no, you can't count on the person that they're in the gathering with you. You can't yep. count on that. You can't count on the fact that they say they're a Christian.
Yeah.
You have, do they love Jesus? I mean, mm-hmm. now I feel like we're talking about someone who's looking for someone to marry. It's the same kind of thing. It's like,
it's very important. Do they love
Jesus?
Yeah.
Like, more than anything.
Yeah.
And if you go, no, they're a Christian. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, that's different.
I will say this
yeah.
on a personal level.
Okay.
The thing that I fell in love with Cliff about.
Yes.
The thing that made me fall in love with him is how much more he loved Jesus than me.
Yeah.
And that thing
yeah.
has made every bit of difference in and our marriage
the
and
right
our relationship.
And that's the right direction.
Because I'm like, this guy will not capitulate to me.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves Jesus yes. more.
Oh, and that's Missy and I too, the same thing. It's like, I remember driving home from the first night I hung out with Missy, like really hung out.
Yeah.
And I just said to the Lord, because it was very clear she just loved Jesus. Mm. And so I said to the Lord on the way home, if you don't want me to marry her, then step in, like get in the way, mm-hmm. otherwise I'll marry her.
Mm.
That was the last time I ever talked to him about it. I never asked the question. I never yeah. prayed.
Mm.
I never one time even said, Lord, should I marry her? Because I already told him, if you don't want me to marry her, then do something. Because yeah. She doesn't care what her life is as long as
yeah.
she knows she's following Jesus.
Yeah, yeah,
she
yeah.
wants a husband who all she cares about is, are we following Jesus? Yeah. And that, like, I mean, how long have you guys been married now?
Yeah, 32 years.
32.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 17. Mm. We're almost halfway. We're just over halfway.
Wow.
But it's like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's been like,
So you and I
yes.
are the problems, and we just married really well.
Yes.
That people who love Jesus more than they loved
we
us.
We have amazing spouses.
We have amazing spouses. Yes.
I will not argue with that.
Yeah. Okay. So, that question, I feel like, okay, here's a question for you. Another personal question. What does friendship with Jesus look like for you, Matt Menzel?
It looks like basically what I talk about all the time. Like,
so you wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And you, because you're like a kind of, like, you present.
What do I present?
You,
like,
you are hilarious.
Okay.
You're super funny. You're a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But you present very serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you mean weird?
Before I got to know you, and we've known each other a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like years.
Yeah,
like
many years.
15 years.
Yes.
Yeah?
Since
2007?
I think 14 years. I think it was 2010
okay.
when we met.
So a long time.
Yes.
you could present a little bit like you're just praying all day every day.
Is that what it seems like?
You could.
Because I feel like I'm trying to be very honest that I don't have it all together.
You never try to act. But like if you just listen to you, like you are a spiritual guy. You are.
You know what I think it is too, Aaron. I also think that when you only see someone in the context of they're giving a sermon.
Yeah.
And I think I'm very much. I feel like I'm the same person giving a sermon that I am in my regular life.
Yeah. Totally.
I feel like I talk the same way. I'm the same. I'm talking about the same things. But when your only interaction with a person is they're on stage teaching from the scripture, I think that does something weird to the perception of that person.
Yeah.
For me, it looks very much like...
Not just waking up speaking in tongues all day.
Oh, no, that's what I was going to say. That's what it looks like. No, it's always different. And I actually feel like in the last little bit, like I've had seasons of life where it's been really regimented stuff.
Okay.
And I feel like in the last little bit, the Lord's really given me freedom to go like, let's just do like, to just whatever needs to happen. So meaning, I feel very called to spend time with the Lord when I, first thing.
Yep.
You know, first thing. So I'm not.
No cell phone.
Yeah, that's in a different room, all that stuff. And I don't do this perfectly, but this is what I'm always aiming at.
Okay.
And it's my, you know. And so it's at least like 10, 15 minutes.
Okay.
And that looks different all the time. Sometimes it's in the scripture. It's mostly just like my reading plan. That's usually my reading plan time.
Okay.
But the things that I really love are where I, I wake up. It's time with Jesus. Then it's exercise. Then it's to work.
Okay.
And then but then it's like my evenings and my weekends, my walks with him are some of the most special times that I have. Mm. Like I love my walks with him.
So do you connect more with him in nature?
Like, no, it's the same everywhere.
Oh, and you could be walking with thousands of people around you or in the quietness.
It's the same, but like there's a special thing about the seclusion in the trees that I really love. But it's honestly, he's so present. Like you talk to him, you go to him in his word, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
You go to him, you pray to him in the spirit, he's there. I go walk with him in the trees. It's the one common denominator about it all is that when I like make space for him, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I can't perceive him like emotionally or whatever, like he's still very much there. And so that's been the most exciting thing for me is learning that like we can actually just be with him.
Yeah.
And like right now in this room, like, I can do it while I'm preaching or while I'm sitting here talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
I can just, there's just like, it's kind of like this accessing this place of communion, this place I feel like I just like, feels like just the spirit in me, not his spirit, but my spirit communing with his spirit. And it's just sort of like, it's like this secret place that you can just kind of like be there. And it's like, and I can just check in with him. I can check in with him in the middle of a conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
The things that really get in the way are when I get like just really busy and distracted.
Yeah.
Then I end up coming to the end of my day and going like, I haven't thought about you all day. I haven't stopped to like look at you and that, you know, that, and like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. He's not mad about that.
Would you say you would confess that to him and repent of that?
No, like I wouldn't. I like not for me right now. I would just more, he's not upset about it. Obviously, like he doesn't punish us, obviously, but it's sort of like, if I live that way, if I string those days together, I'm in the flesh now.
Yeah.
Now I'm working from the flesh. I'm sowing to the flesh and I'm reaping from the flesh.
Yep.
And you know what the flesh is like. It's just like, it's the very opposite of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really has a compounding effect.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, when I'm like, if I take intentional time every day, just to kind of stay with him. And if I actually practice trying to do it throughout the day and I string those days together, now it's like, it's the exact opposite effect. It's like you start reaping from the spirit in a way that's like, and you start to realize, oh, there's more peace. There's more joy. And you're not trying. Oh, yeah. And now it's like, I'm calmer with people. Mm-hmm. Like when people like you, staff,
frustrate
are making
you,
me so angry.
I know.
Now
I'm
not even angry. I'm just like, you know, it's okay. It's just Aaron.
It's just Aaron.
You know?
Wow.
But no, I do feel that. Don't you agree, Aaron? Like
I do.
Like it's sort of just like, he's not looking for perfection of anything.
Nope.
But it's like we want to be consistent in a direction.
Years and years ago, I read one of Nancy Lee DeMoss's book, Lies Women Believe. And one of the top lies is that we think that we can get through a day multiple days in a row without spending time with him and in his word because of where it leads.
Yes.
But it's interesting. Yesterday, Jesse and I went to a park that I love in Vancouver.
Which park?
Maple Grove Park.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, yeah. It's like it's my happy place. Like during some of the darkest times of my life, I would drive there. It's in Kerrisdale. It's where I grew up.
Yeah.
And we were just laying there suntanning. Burnt forehead here. I was just like, it was so quiet. The birds were chirping. And I was just talking to the Lord in my head. Jessie was fast asleep because she had watched the aurora lights. And she got home at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So she was like right out of it. And I was just talking to the Lord in my head. And he just said, and it was so clear. I heard it in my head that I am your rest.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there's a lot of people writing about practicing ways of silence and rest and all this. And they can become very programmatic.
Oh, yeah.
And
legalistic if you're not careful.
Right. And I have built into my life very intentional times with the Lord and Sabbathing and all this stuff. But I can then make that a new thing. And in the last, I don't know, this year since January, I've just been feeling this sense of the rest is not from those things. Yeah. It's in him.
Yes.
And then this statement, which when I told Cliff this morning, he's like, uh-huh, like that's what Jesus says. And I'm like, but it hit me. He's like, you're going to find that rest not in not doing these things or doing these things. You just find it in me.
Yeah.
And it just hit me like in a different way. And I'm like, right. So what you're saying is
like, that's really good. I feel like one thing I've just been feeling like on my vacation, I was doing some writing and some different research on different kinds of renewal and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And formulating some stuff for Westside, which I guess isn't very vacation-y, but I was enjoying it.
Yeah. Good.
But one of the things I just felt like he really impressed on me strongly is that like prayer and abiding are the same thing.
Mm.
And it's like, that's what you're talking about.
That's it.
It's like, you know, pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
You know, how do we do that? Well, you can't do that if prayer is a program. If prayer is like this thing you go, there is a kind of prayer where it's like, go into your room, close your door, pray to the Father who's in secret. Mm-hmm. Father who sees in secret will reward you. But like, but the prayer without ceasing, it's that connection to Jesus. It's that accessing the check-in place. Yeah. Like, just how are we? Like, anything you're saying to me right now? Anything you want me to say anything with this person? Like, it's that, and to do that, you gotta learn to slow yourself down. You gotta learn to still your heart, mind. You stop rushing.
Yeah.
And you actually have to ask him.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that abiding, that connection, that is prayer.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of prayer.
Yeah.
And that is where the rest comes from.
Yeah.
It's all found in the connection with him.
I know.
Everything. And I feel like that's the thing we need to, I feel like we have such a hang up on programs and like the new methodology.
I know. The next and, clever thing.
And they are clever and they are good. And some of them are brilliant. But then it's like so easily that becomes the thing. And we're off track because we just need it to be connection with Jesus.
I know.
That's why in my own life, like you asked me about my routines and stuff, I don't really have one right now that's like regimented.
Mm-hmm.
Other than I read through the Bible and, you know, usually once every 2 years I read through it and those kinds of things. But yeah, that stuff's standard. But I want to connect with Jesus. Yeah. How am I supposed to connect with him today?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after this, I'm going to go exercise.
Okay.
And that'll be my connection with, like, that'll be my special time. I mean, I was up at 5 this morning because I had like half an hour with him before I started prepping the sermon stuff. But it's like the Sunday's a unique thing, right? Because so most days it's like I just look for different times and different ways. And but it is my favorite thing though too.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you're at the gym, you're just listening to worship music, right?
Gangster rap mostly.
I know.
It's always different, but
everybody makes fun of me because I literally listen to like upbeat worship music when I'm at the gym, which is not often as often.
Sometimes I'm listening to like super mellow worship.
Oh,
mostly it's
not at the gym though.
No, sometimes.
Oh.
Like, sometimes it doesn't matter at all how I feel. I just want to be worshiping Jesus at the gym. But very rarely it's a podcast. I don't listen to a lot of those. Mostly it's music.
Yeah.
And mostly it's just whatever playlist I'm working on.
Yeah, well, maybe our audience will get your workout routine another time because we have been asked that, which you just shut down right away.
Yeah.
Okay, we had a couple questions about justification. We had a question about justification and another thing about worshiping. But maybe why don't you just explain what justification is and then we'll wrap up because we're
okay.
Hitting.
I would just say for justification, like, this is not maybe your theological, your best theological answer. But I'd say that is your, that is the, your legal, that is the legal, that is how you legally get moved from the kingdom of darkness,
Kingdom
of darkness, the kingdom of God's son. That's how you legally get adopted. That's how you move into God's family. Once you are justified, that you are secure, you are positionally, like, again, assured, secure in Jesus, all done. He does that through his life, death, and resurrection, the power of the Spirit. Justification, I'm not sure what the, like, I talked about justification today, I guess. Well, I remember it. I said friendship is like, not everyone who's justified or a child of God actually chooses friendship with God. And I think if you listen to Jesus' words, I think friendship is really what, like, justification is necessary for friendship. You can't have it without that. We need the gospel. We need to be saved from sin. But what he desires is not just to save us. He desires relationship with us. That's the big thing that I feel like the Spirit is doing this in the church. And so, it's the legal framework for your assurance. It's the legal, your right standing before God from a legal standpoint.
That's great. I love it. I think you're great.
Oh, Aaron, I think you're great.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you find this helpful, maybe even a little fun. Have a great week, Westside. We'll see you soon. Yeah.